Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 12th of October, 2021.
Woohoo!
Which is 12, 20, 10.
It's almost, there's almost a thing in there.
Yeah, it's almost a palindrome. Almost.
Close. It's close. It's a palindrome minus two.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Minus A2, yeah.
Yeah, A2. How are you? What's happening in your world?
I'm good. Not much.
Any big issues happening? I heard on No Agenda you counted 8 cars. I took the boat out this weekend, and on Sunday I came back. The train bridge went down, and every time that happens, it's like, oh God, no, because the trains aren't 8 cars here. They're
well, those are passenger trains. I'm counting 8 cars. The main train that goes by here, you should count the cars. Yeah, the container car ships, which have been flowing out of Oakland left and right, are up right now. They're counting about 130 cars, each one with 2 or 3 containers on it. There's some lone 1 container cars, but they're rare. And I was listening to some reports that, because everyone's talking about the backed up, they're backed up and we're all going to die. The backup, it turns out in Oakland, they made a deal with the longshoremen and the other guys that work there, the 2 unions, that they're going to just work their way through the whole thing and, you know, work as hard as they can to get all this crap out of the harbor. Mm-hmm. They cleared up Oakland in July, I find out.
Really?
Yeah. It's Southern California where they have the issue.
I mean, I saw first of all, it's kind of interesting because there's 2 tracks going north and 1 going south. And this is what I haven't seen this in a while, but both were kind of passing each other at the same time across this river, across the bridge on the river. Yeah. And they were stacked like 2 high.
Yeah.
And 3 high.
Well, they're never 3 high. They're 2 high, but sometimes there's 2 loose. You'll see 3 containers on a train, but they're...
Oh, maybe that's what it was. 6. Right? 3 by 2?
No, you'll never get... No.
Really?
You're either going to get 3 containers on a load or 2 big ones.
Hmm. Well, there's a lot. We have some things to talk about tonight because there's been some changes in the way that companies are now dealing with this due to the fact that we have, 80 ships over in the LA port. We got things happening in China and you can't get things out. You can't get things in. So a couple of these companies out there are saying like, what are we going to do? And they've come up with some pretty unique, just as companies always do. They come up with something to solve their problems. So that's kind of one of the things we're going to talk about. Just to mention again, next week, a scheduling note, no show on October 19th. So mark your calendars. Of course, you can continue listening to past shows on wherever you get your podcast from and download it, but it won't be live next week. All right, warming up. We got a surprise. Economists suck at their job. Every once in a while, I have to remind myself.
Yeah, I saw that, the chart you posted on social media.
Every time we're going to talk about this tonight, but I got to remind myself every once in a while that they are stooges. This is, they get paid to
paid to be stooges.
I guess so, to go where where we are now, but not look out and never be too far away from consensus. And if they are far away from consensus, the problem is that they'll get fired. It's better off being at consensus, being wrong, than being right and even being on the odd side, because odds are you're not going to be right, but it's better just to be with the pack.
Yeah. That pack behavior is very, just the way you do it.
Yeah. Question, how's your RAS, which is something called restless anal syndrome, brought to you by COVID-19. New syndrome that has developed that is being now tagged to, if you had COVID-19, this is something that you could possibly get and has been found out, and it's we'll explain all about that tonight. Markets are volatile as the investors are starting to see a half-full outlook. Earnings season ready to kick off tomorrow. JP Morgan, and then we have the banks throughout the week and next week. Some of the regionals, and then we're going to hit some of the major tech names that will be interesting to see. One of the things that we've noticed right now is that markets are clearly in a bit of more of a corrective action, because last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I happened to be up for, or I got up and I happened to throw on Bloomberg, get into an easy chair and say, okay, I'll kind of try to fall back to sleep here. Futures were down pretty significantly, you know, another 1% overnight. Then by the time I kind of opened my eyes again, which was about 6:30, I'm like, oh, that looks a lot better. Kind of came up all the way. Markets open, they shoot the moon, and then all of a sudden, it goes the opposite direction. Everything goes to crap. So what we're finding is kind of almost the, it's almost the opposite of what we see in a rally mode, where every dip is bought. This is every rip is sold. So there you go. Supply chain issues creeping into all areas, of course. We have another announcement of another supply area issue that happened after the close of the markets today that caused quite an after-hours hiccup. And we have, if you look at charts right now, you remember when we talked about how markets were doing this kind of up 300, down 300, up 500, down 500. We call those railroad tracks in the technical and analyst mode. If you can imagine what they look like on a chart, it looks like two parallel but yet vertical lines that are on a chart, right? One is maybe goes up and the other one ends on the lower part. One ends, yeah. You know, those are railroad tracks. When you start seeing those are signs of what's called churning. And when you start to see churning, there's a lot of disagreement, not agreement in pricing, but disagreement in pricing. And that's not usually a good sign for markets.
Obviously, but it also indicate either a bottom or a top.
Usually there's top. Usually railroad tracks are a negative sign for whatever reason.
Okay.
Let's see what else I get. Crab prices going up. Big problems. You like crabs?
Oh, everybody likes the aquatic edible crabs. The ones we have out here are Dungeness. They're quite tasty.
Oh, Dungeness is good, especially in Chinese restaurants. They make a good Dungeness crab, black bean sauce. Or ginger and scallions. You like ginger and scallions on the Dungeness?
It's fine.
Yeah. How do you like to make them?
We just cook the crabs, crack it open, and then start taking pieces out and eat it with
cocktail sauce.
Maybe some tartar sauce, straight up.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a big problem getting some of these crabs this year. Big problem.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I'm teasing all the discussions, right?
Yeah, so far, you know, it's not like, you haven't teased a market collapse, so keep going.
All right, coming up.
Market collapse.
Coal prices are going up by how much? More problems with China. I mean, it's interesting. We have
China.
It's not only the problem of the reopening. It's not only the problem of speculation. It's not only a problem of shortages due to COVID, of people mining. But now we got to have historic floods in the main area of China that produces coal. And prices are at all-time highs. All-time.
Yeah.
All-time.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I feel bad about people who are either shorting coal or they're all in on whatever it is, a coal hate.
Yeah. Taper talk is ongoing. I think we talked about this last week, but my bet, $40 billion total taper, then they'll keep buying about $80 billion a month. These guys are really turning up the heat on, we want to do a fast taper. We want to get this taper done with. They keep on saying taper done with, taper done with. Not quantitative easing done with, but taper done with.
Huh.
Did we talk about this?
Well, a little bit, but you never pointed out the discrepancy between quantitative easing and tapering, as though this is two separate issues and they're trying to pass one off as the other.
That's what it seems to me that they're doing, because what did you infer from all of this before I said that?
Well, I figured that they were going to pull back on quantitative easing.
Right. Pull back by.
I thought tapering was that's what it meant. It's what it had something to do with, but I guess not.
No, it is pulling back on, but the tapering is pulling back on quantitative easing by a portion of the quantitative easing, rather than they make it sound like we want to end the taper by mid-2022. It sounds like they want to end the quantitative easing program. They want to end the taper, which is not even started yet. And taper is just the shrinking. So the shrinking. So what I'm saying is, I think that there's this idea that, and they're trying to portray it that, hey, we've reached all of our goals, and now we can do away with the quantitative easing program. That's what I think that they're somehow trying to portray, but yet at the background saying, yeah, but it's really not going to end. We're just going to take a little bit off the table. You know, just going to.
Well, pinch it. I mean, if you look at the way things are going, we haven't, and considering all the headaches that took place in the last 18 months to forever how long, and all the rest of the fiascos that came and went, the fact that we haven't had an economic collapse, which people keep predicting over and over and over since 2017, they must figure they're doing something right, and they're just going to keep doing it.
Going to keep doing it. And they know also, they've seen in the past when they start slowing down on the bond purchases and they slow down the liquidity and suck liquidity out of the markets, even though that is not necessarily an increase, and they've made this point 100 times, if not once, that quantitative easing tapering is not the equivalent of raising interest rates. And in fact, it doesn't do anything to the economy. And I'm like, well, again, if gas prices going down is good for the consumer, gas prices going up have to be bad for the consumer. If quantitative easing enlarged by $120 billion per month is really good for the economy, taking that away has got to be bad for the economy. Doesn't seem like that.
Yes, and that's the most simplistic way of looking at things.
Right, but they try to make it look like something else. Listen, it's like anything else. The house of cards in China with Evergrande and all the various developers that leverage the crap out of what they were doing is fine until it's not. And then when it starts breaking down and falling apart, it gets ugly.
There's also a number of screwy other things going on in China. There's this one guy who, I can't remember his name, he's got some funny name. He's on YouTube all the time. He's a Chinese young guy, but he floats around, or used to float around China until they're going to arrest him. He left. But he was there for a decade. And him and his buddies, they went to this one of these new areas, not the places where there's just a ghost city like you went to, but just some little bit, like a bunch of houses that they built for the middle class.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, and they're all crumbling.
Right. Like they went to the house and they're like,
I think I sent it to you. That's where you saw it.
You did.
Yeah, and it's like they grab a piece of the side of the wall, concrete, and they crunch it with their hands. It just turns into dust. And you have to wonder how much of that's going on over there. And that means the whole operation could be just a house of cards.
Right. I totally agree that everything is stuck together with spit and glue right now. And the glue really is all the excess liquidity. You know, you could hide under a pile of excess liquidity for a long time. Think about a Madoff situation. As long as the money's coming in, things are fine, right?
Yeah, Madoff could have gone another decade.
Another decade, as long as new funds kept coming in, markets didn't get too pissy on them, and it could have gone on forever. But once that bottom rock is dislodged, what do they say? That high tide hides all the crap. All the broken bottles, the used condoms, and all the beer cans at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the economic surprise index. This is something that I posted on Twitter because I was disgusted.
Yes, this really bothered you for some very interesting reasons.
Well, the reason is that the whole point of this economic surprise index essentially is to grade where economists said we were going to be on a variety of different economic index reports and data points, and actually where we are. So when you have a positive number, means that the economists were lowballing. You know, they thought that GDP would be 4%, it's 6. And they get some points, you know, they're wrong about that. So what that means is, generally speaking, that things are a lot better than they were anticipating, and therefore it can be inferred that, you know what? We're much too cautious and things are going to get a lot better. Therefore, it's a good thing for markets in concept. However, when you start seeing it go the other way, and what happens is when they're that low and off the mark, what do they naturally do? They just increase their numbers, right? Not thinking about reality of what may happen around the other side. And then their numbers are too high. And the economic surprise index goes negative. So look at this. And I'm not going to fault anyone in 2020 necessarily for getting it that wrong. Because, you know, the fact is that it was a big surprise, the pandemic.
Yeah, but don't you think they could have been a little more conservative in their predictions to be this far off? People should make sure to check this graph out. We'll be on the website, dhunplugged.com. It's just, they're out of control, it looks like.
They're stupid. They just can't get it right. There's a period where they're better, but the latest is negative.
This is like the weather, man. The weathermen are always better when it's sunny out and it looks like the sun's going to be there for you. It's going to be sunny for the next month. It's going to be sunny. They keep predicting it. And so they get a good prediction hit rate for about a month because anyone could predict it when it's sunny and nice. Then when the weather starts to get a little flaky, they're off half the time.
Yep. And that's what this is. It's pretty much just throwing darts at the wall. Monkeys could probably do just as good of a job of this. So, I mean, they overadjust and they're above and below the zero line. Essentially, when they're well above, significantly above the zero line or below the zero line, it shows their absolute incompetence. So, I just want everybody to understand that when you hear, oh, well, the consensus was for 275,000 new jobs added to the payrolls and we only got 180 or we got 500, don't pay too much attention to what the analysts thought because they're terrible. And here's another surprise. Here's another insight for you. The Fed is no better at predicting anything. Seriously, they're if you look at their track record, look at their track record of inflation. Tomorrow, CPI numbers are coming out, the consumer price index, and already we're seeing that the return of course, higher energy prices. We saw WTI oil. We're going to talk about some of these things moving up. We saw that housing prices are sustaining high. We saw that the price of things like cotton at an all-time or 10-year high and coal, as we talked about. And not only that, you're seeing things like used cars, which dipped down a little bit, starting to skyrocket again. Heating oil, of course, as well. So all these things are going to add into this idea that, well, we have this, you know, this transitory inflation. Because what else could the Fed say to make it sound like it's not a big deal? They could have said something like, hey, do us a favor, just ignore it because, you know what, it'd be better for the markets if you just ignore it. Don't follow any of this information. No, they can't say that. So they say it's transitory. So it's still transitory.
Well, let's say everything goes up 15%.
It prices? Wow.
Let's say it all goes up 15%, then it stops going up. They can say, well, it's not transitory anymore.
Right.
But it'll be 15% higher.
Yeah, and that's going to put a crimp. It's going to be put a crimp in all sorts of things. You know, margins are going to get constrained. Consumers, the one thing that will happen when it comes to costs, inflation, commodity prices, finished good prices, is the way that things stop going up is when things continue to go up. There's a point, there's an equilibrium where there's going to be no further price increases. Because people just can't pay it. They don't want to pay it. But you're seeing this incredible bubblicious kind of thing going on right now because the Fed just won't acknowledge that we're there and they don't need, not only the Fed, central banks around the world, they don't need to be putting more money in the markets. And God forbid, we have somebody coming up this coming week on the Disciplined Investor podcast who talked about the one thing, I'm not going to give it away, but the one thing that could crash markets, and it has something to do with what we're talking about right now. So check out the Disciplined Investor this coming week. Now with that, Goldman Sachs cut its, just yesterday, U.S. economic growth forecast. It lowered its 2022 growth estimate on GDP to 4% from 4.4 and took its 2021 estimate down a little bit from 5.7 to 5.6. And they cited the expiration of fiscal support from Congress and slower than expected recovery in consumer spending, specifically services. They said high or rapid increase in energy costs have triggered recessions in the past, and there's the possibility that history could repeat itself if energy prices continue to rise. Higher energy prices result in lower disposable income for consumers. Hello? That was from Neil Beveridge of Bernstein's. He said that part. So finally, somebody's
genius.
Wow, what a brilliant dude. Facebook. I want to get into this discussion. I don't know if this was talked about. I only listened to the first 40 minutes of Sundays, but I sent a note to Adam about this. A week ago, you talked about the whole Facebook whistleblower. Now there's a second one coming forward.
It was like the John Gruden letters. The first one didn't do enough of a good job, so they're going to bring another one out.
Ah, they got them stacked up waiting just in case.
Yeah, just in, if it doesn't work the first time, bring out a second one, another right. Phony baloney.
Well, one of the things that Adam talked about was the regulation and that all these, you know, people are going to hop on board and all of this. But there's a lot of things talked about this. But I sent a note to Adam. I said, listen, this whole comparison that is being made that you talked about with him about big tobacco, right? This comparison about big tobacco, they knew it. They should have said something.
Yeah, it's not, it was not, our, yes, but it, that was not our
right.
Perspective. Right, it was the perspective that the media is using.
Right, but one of the things I said was, it's also possibly if they're going to start bringing in this whole big tobacco thing, you know, they maybe could start thinking about bringing in taxation of social media. That's maybe what they're looking to do here.
Oh, well, that we did not address.
Right. I talked about, so that would about
be
it.
Your, yep. That would be your, yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Now, all of a sudden, what's interesting about Facebook is they have tools. They all of a sudden, this week, they have tools. They have tools to for their Instagram platform to push youngsters away from harmful content. And I want to talk to you about this. They just revealed. They just came up with. These tools that could push people instead of the whole whistleblower thing was they pulled people towards harmful conduct content, right?
Supposedly.
Or they pushed them. So a couple things to note. First, Facebook denied any of this. Hey, we don't do this, right? Secondly, are you telling me that they obviously know what is harmful content?
Oh, another good one. You're beating me on these.
So if they can get a tool to push youngsters away from harmful content, why haven't they done this
before? Presupposes the notion that they fully understand what harmful content
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
And how fast did they come up with this whole thing? I mean, you know, they came up within... What, 4 days from the testimony? Like have a tool.
I think it was a blunder. They should have not. They should have said, it's hard to tell what harmful content is. We're working on it. There's a lot of ways they could have gone. The way they went was the wrong way.
Yep.
So, good catch.
Yep. All right. Apple, latest casualty in the supply chain fiasco. Apple's down about 1.5% on a Bloomberg report. This was after the hours and the close of today's session that is likely to slash iPhone 13 production targets due to chip shortages. And the suppliers were also lower. So nobody seems immune to all this. But what's really kind of fascinating, John, is that there's been a lot of talk and murmur and innuendo that, you know, Apple's got this down. Don't worry about them. They were better than the car companies in ordering the chips and figuring out what they would need because they have a consistent cycle that is ever moving in the same direction. And all of a sudden, we get this announcement that they're going to have to cut production targets.
Yeah. I don't care what anyone wants to believe. Apple's just as bad as these other companies when it comes to just-in-time inventory renewal.
Mm-hmm.
This is a process that was, it does pay off when it works. But now we're seeing the fly in the ointment when it comes to just-in-time.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was really made or popularized, or even to a degree, I guess, perfected by the Dell company, right? The Dell Corporation.
Well, they were one of the early promoters, but they got it from HP, which I think predates them. And I think the whole thing stems from Toyota. I went and looked into this just-in-time thing, and Toyota seems to be the operation that really perfected the idea, and it made them a very competitive car company. And then I think then HP, but I could be wrong, could be IBM, but HP, I thought, was were the guys that popularized it in the U.S.
Maybe through with the Compaq. Remember that one?
I think it was even before then. Mm. It was a while. It's been a while they've been doing it. And then I think Dell picked up on it, and then everybody started doing it.
Yep. So it's a problem now because just-in-time is not really geared for opening and closing an economy. Not quite.
No. It assumes a smooth flow of goods and services.
Right. Everything's being put on its head right now. I didn't know where to put this next piece, but something we talked about at the top here, this whole RAS, the restless anal syndrome. I just threw it right in here. Post-COVID complication causing deep anal discomfort. So, as per a latest report, a mysterious post... Have you talked about this with at all? Have you heard about this?
No, it's nothing. This doesn't sound like something you want to talk about.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it because you have to.
I guess so.
You have to. A mysterious post-COVID illness known as restless anal syndrome has affected an old Japanese man, one person, who was previously infected with COVID-19 and developed mild symptoms. As per the doctors at the Tokyo University, it was found that the symptoms shown by the man were in accordance with those shown by patients with restless leg syndrome. Doctors in the hospital believe the post-COVID complication associated with the deep anal discomfort is an unusual variant of RLS. So there's the variant of restless leg syndrome somehow made its way right to your anal area. What is the world coming through? Is this...
Here's what I'm guessing. The restless leg syndrome drug, which they used to promote on television.
Oh.
Nobody was buying it. So now they're going to move it to this. You know, if you have gas, they're going to use this.
Do you have deep anal discomfort? Have you had COVID in the past?
I'd like to see the ads for this product. Yeah.
I'm saying, are you worried that your leg is going to somehow go up your anus? Well, we have a pill for you. It's unbelievable. We have a rub. This one will be a rub, right? We have a stick. All right, crabflation coming. Crabflation. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game set the 2022 snow crab. Those are smaller. They usually sell them in an all-you-can-eat atmosphere a lot of times. They're a little, I guess, saltier, I would say. But they set the 2022 snow crab harvest at the lowest level in more than 40 years. Just wait for the whole thing here. Just keeps going. It gets better. A move to protect populations that appear to have crashed during a period of higher temperatures in the Bering Sea.
No, global warming.
Yep. 88%. You wonder why people aren't, maybe the problem with they're too hot in their pants, and that's why they're getting the RAS, you know?
Yeah.
That would be more aligned, I think, than the COVID complication. Anyway, we have an 88% reduction in the snow crab limit entirely. The 2021 full harvest of Bristol Bay Red King crab, which is another important source of revenue for the fleet, was canceled for the year because of too few females. And the combined impact of the closures of both the snow crab and the big hit that was because of the king crab, it's like $200 million from the two harvests on the fleet.
Well, the king crab, I know that we get a lot of that here. I mean, it's just like kind of a cheap product with not a lot of crab flavor, but they got these huge legs that are a mile long. I've never had a snow crab that I can remember. I've had a lot of different kinds of crab meat, but not a snow crab meat.
Snow crab is like long-legged, thin legs.
What a king crab is, long legs?
Yeah, but king crabs, you'll know, they're thick. They're hard to break. They're red and white. Yeah. Queen crabs or the snow crabs are like more like a, there's different ways to call them, but they're like more of an orange and white, much thinner. You can kind of crack them with your fingers. They're usually soft and a big tube of meat comes out when you do that. Versus king crab is almost this giant, you know, you got to get your hand around.
Yeah.
So different. Look it up.
Okay.
We have more flation. Cotton prices surged to a 10-year high on Friday, reaching $1.16 per pound and touching levels not seen since 2011. The price of the commodity rose about 6% this week and is up 47% for the year. Are you getting a little bit of a trend going on here?
It's temporary.
Ah. Analysts note that the gains are being intensified further from traders rushing to cover their short positions. I'm going to mention something here that I have an issue with futures trading on commodities, certain commodities. I think that the idea of having speculators, not those that are commercial hedgers, looking to hedge their crop or their particular juice or whatever it is, having speculators in certain areas of the markets is really stupid. The thought of my carrots going up in price because speculators have either shorted or they're trying to jam it higher is ridiculous. The whole point should be a hedging of your crops. Now, of course, somebody's going to say, if you pull out the speculators, you're going to lose liquidity. I get that too. I'm not saying I have a solution. I'm telling you that I find it.
You just don't like it.
I just don't like it.
Well, a lot of people don't like stuff. A lot of people don't like shorts in the regular market.
Right.
But and that would be, yeah, you're not that way with the regular market, but all of a sudden now you are with this.
I don't have to eat my stocks. I don't wear Amazon stock, but I do wear cotton. I do use carrots, oils. Yeah. Said. Coal prices also up 75% in the last 3 months. The price of coal used in China's power plants.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, surged to a new record high. A record high.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So one of the regions I said was hit by some flooding. Heavy rains hit Shaanxi in recent days, the country's biggest coal-producing province. After record floods struck the mining region in July, thermal coal in the commodity exchange rose 10% on Tuesday. Look at this. Look at the coal prices. Look at that. There's a chart there.
This is an interesting aspect to this report. In my entire life, I've followed coal enough. I've listened to seminars. Yeah, this chart is unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
It's outrageous. If anyone invested in coal last year, they're got to be happy.
260% up since this beginning of this year. That's absurd.
Anyway, the thing that I was saying is that I've never heard the term thermal coal.
Well, you heard coking coal, right?
I have heard that as for steel. But I've never just the term thermal coal. It's just like just cropped up, it seems to me.
Thermal coal, also known as steaming coal or just coal, is widely used as the principal means of generating electricity in most of the world.
Yeah.
The plant decays and will turn into coal. So again, it's burnt to generate electricity via steam. So once again, this is a problem of we are now shunning dirty oil and climate changing cars that have any kind of exhaust, right? And we're going now to electricity, which everybody thinks is just somehow naturally produced from the wall. Okay.
Yeah, it comes out of thin air.
It's so nice. Look how great that plug is. I don't smell it. There's no smoke. I don't feel it. It's cheap. But no, it becomes from coal, which is not the cleanest thing in the world.
It's not as clean as gasoline.
Terrible. Is thermal coal bad for the environment? Burning coal emits large amounts of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So those people who are all over the idea that there is nothing to do wrong with the environment when it comes to EVs, come on now, folks.
Not to mention the rape of the landscapes that develop lithium and nickel and some of these other metals that are needed for these batteries.
I mean, there is obviously there's a better level, but the idea that people think, what I'm talking about really, so just to be clear, I understand that the EVs are better for the environment. That's not a question, right? But I'm not saying, I'm talking to the people that think that there's absolutely no pollution generated from the use of.
Well, they're not listening to this show. I'm sure of that.
All right. Oil priced again above $80 for WTI. OPEC Plus has plenty of power in the U.S. is knocking down the rigs over and the regulations over the last few years. The White House is now urging OPEC to take action. So, you know, once again, we are stuck with being at the mercy of OPEC. $80. And we have far less usage going on.
Yeah, I know.
Now, I mentioned earlier, one of the things that's going on is that there's this major price. You know, we heard something like containers were going for $2,000 per container being shipped from China to the United States. I don't know, a year ago, normal times. Whenever that was. And then somehow they magically got to like $22,000 per container and they started coming back down. Well, some of these companies are, there's a few things that are problematic. Number one, the costs are ridiculous. The second thing is they can't get the goods. They can't get the goods. So Walmart and a few other companies are being, thinking about, hey, you know what? We got these high costs and what are we going to do about it? We got to do something. You know, we got the holidays showing up and people want to buy and our concerns are obviously it's going to dent our total profitability due to the fact we don't have the revenues. We can't sell stuff. So they've been switching to dry bulk carriers via charter. So instead of going
I saw this. This is pretty funny.
Yeah, instead of going to
Generally speaking, charters are never as cheap as common carriers and the rest.
Right, but the problem is that what you'll do is maybe pay not the same amount, but a little bit less, but still a lot. But you sidestep the ports and unload at separately operated bulk cargo docks. And usually what's also happening is they can move bigger containers. They can do, instead of the 40-footers, they can do the 53-footers. So they pack more into a container, and they can actually get these damn things off the boats.
Huh. Why don't they just make the products here in the United States? We have a lot of manufacturing capability.
No.
Why does there have to be a boat involved?
Come on. You have to have a boat. You need to go over water. It ages it properly. Seals it in, you know? It provides some kind of benefit. Meanwhile, dry bulk shipping costs are up 300% this year. So the peak back in 2008 was like 12,000. It's half the peak now or less, but still pretty expensive. Janet Yellen's in the news, of course. She said with a hell of a lot of confidence on Sunday that she was very confident that the U.S. Congress would approve legislation to implement the Global Corporate Minimum Tax Agreement and that was agreed to already by 136 countries. So she said
that international tax thing that's very strange to me.
It's the weirdest thing ever. So she said the actions bring the United States into compliance with the global minimum tax and will be included in the so-called reconciliation budget bill containing President Joe Biden's proposed spending initiatives. How does that work?
You tell me. It's beyond me why we have a global tax. Where's that money go?
First of all, no, it's not a global tax. It's that every country will mandate that the minimum tax rate in the tax code for corporations is 15%. It stays within the countries that have.
Oh, okay, so they get to keep the money, but it's like, it's regulated by a global agreement.
Right, they're agreeing to it because they're like, hey, we don't want to have anybody have any upper hand and better deal. And if we, like, for example, had Ireland at zero tax rate, a lot of companies would be moving there.
Would anybody agree to this? What if Ireland doesn't sign off on it?
They'll sign off on it, but think about what they're going to do. This is the stupidest thing ever. This is totally like, hey, look what we did here. What you do is you put a 15% tax, minimum tax on your books, right? On the regulations. And then you put a few different tax deductible items in there to offset the damn thing. Now you say, well, we agreed to this. Absolutely. 15% is the minimum tax. Tax on what? Well, net income. Okay, well, we've reduced it to a point that there's no net income.
Yeah.
It's just a joke. It's a big joke. You think that 136 countries would actually agree to this garbage if there was any teeth in this and they could actually be truly a 15% net, a 15% tax on something? The question is that what is the something is the moving target?
Yeah, what am I thinking?
What is happening?
I must have been in a daze.
All right, we have other things going on. Really weird situation with cars where in Tampa Bay and other areas around the country, but Tampa Bay, consumers are really kind of just done. They're demanding answers to why Carvana, you know, the company that invented the car vending machine, they call it.
Yeah.
Sold them vehicles and then failed to turn over the titles so they can register the cars in their names. Think about that. So Carvana now is offering to buy some of these cars back instead of providing the titles. So you got one of two things. What are the two things that are going on here?
Well, I think they're both the same. It sounds like some sort of a scam.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you get the money from the buyer and it becomes part of your cash flow operation.
Right.
And you keep the money and then that you never turn over the car to them really because the paperwork is the most important part. And then they want their paperwork because they bought the car and you said, no, we'll buy the car back. And meanwhile, the prices have gone higher for these cars. Right. And so they give them the money back, but they don't give them the kind of money they could get if they sold it themselves if they had the title. This isn't unpleasant.
Or maybe they bought stolen cars somehow.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, could be.
They don't have titles. I mean, are they that stupid?
Stolen cars are shipped overseas.
But are they that stupid that they wouldn't get and look for?
See, I don't believe they're that stupid.
Right. Or that smart.
Because you get a stolen car, you're running a big operation called Carvana. You were advertising and you just bought a bunch of stolen cars and you're going to sell them to people? I don't think so.
Now, some of this could be possibly the same situation that we're hearing over and over, that there's a lack of people doing things in life. In other words, there's a major problem at the Motor Vehicles Bureau or wherever the titles are issued from. That could be an issue. But now we're starting to hear this from other states as well. Arizona, Georgia, there's all sorts of places that they just have these temporary plates and they can't get... They can't get titles. So something's weird.
Could be.
And it's even weirder that they're buying them back because that clearly is a sign. What are they going to do? Say, hey, well, just if we bought the car for $10,000, we'll pay you $10,000. Plus, we'll give you an extra $100 for your trouble.
That's why I think my first analysis is probably more likely.
Yeah. All right, headline nonsense. Okay, big headline that came out. Oh, my God, this is so unbelievable. Tinder has changed the hookup. This is the headline. Tinder has changed the hookup game forever with a revolutionary new feature. Wow, what could that be, right? So Tinder is making life easier than ever for anyone who's primary perusing and using it to search for someone looking for a casual hookup. As The Verge reports, the company has partnered with Lyft to allow users to send a free ride to matches without having them leave the app.
So I have a Tinder account.
Yeah.
Not mine.
No.
It's just somebody, because of my email address on Google, is used by people accidentally.
That's hard to believe, but okay, I'll go with this. Go ahead.
No, it's... I have witnesses. And so... And I don't know how to use Tinder, but Jay did because she's dated a lot with us. So we're around the table and I got this account. It's a girl's account or a young man. Somebody is 27. I don't know. And so we're floating through it. And so I change the guy's interest into interest in men.
Oh,
so he's looking through there and we're flying around. Robert Reich, the professor at Cal and the former labor secretary, shows up.
Really?
Yeah. And there he is. And so we're all kind of aghast. I'm looking at this. Look at this. And so I think I've even got some screenshots. But he's looking for his main thing that he's looking for.
Oh, boy.
He's looking for a conversationalist.
Oh, on Tinder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that somebody, does that mean someone who talks during sex?
I don't know what it means.
Is that a blabbermouth 36?
I think that you there's a lot of action on this thing. It's astonishing.
I've had him on the show back in the day.
Did you now?
Yeah,
Did he ask you out?
You know, I did have a good conversation with him, though.
Well,
I'm surprised he hasn't called back.
He's looking for a conversation.
I'm surprised he hasn't called me back. Now I'm upset. So now, in order to take advantage of this, you could just head over to the Explore tab and pick the amount you're willing to spend on a one-way or round-trip ticket. Now, personally, what I would do, if it was me, I'd do a one-way, and if it works out, I'll pay for the other side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but then you look like a real douchebag.
The whole thing's douchey.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
The whole thing is, you know.
What am I thinking?
Yeah. Musk on the move, officially moving his headquarters to Tesla for Tesla to Austin.
Yeah.
I think Adam moved out. He's like, all right, now I can move in.
You know, it's never mentioned in all these reports. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just California is not pleasant to, you know, the taxes and this and that. They never talk about personal income tax. Elon Musk, no matter what he does, he cashes in a lot of stock and he has a lot of, he has a decent income. In California, they tax your personal income 13%.
Yeah, so he's making a lot of money or saving a lot of money.
He's saving a lot of money, saving millions of dollars personally to move to Austin.
Can't blame him.
No, I don't blame him at all. I think anyone who makes more than $1 million a year and lives in California is an idiot.
I don't disagree.
So, you know, I'm not making that kind of money.
No. Speaking of which, I might as well. Let's see if we can actually make John an idiot. By staying in California, earning over $1 million a year, you go over to dhunplugged.com and you could donate to the show to help out the cause and to provide us with the much needed capital to take us to the next level, whatever that is. But to take us to the next level, seriously, and to help defray some of the costs of the servers and all the things that are going on. I just actually got a discount on my I got a call from AT&T and they said, hey, just want to let you know, we're going to be reducing your rate and increasing your speed. I'm like, huh? No, I don't know who you are, but please. No, they're like, seriously, you'll see. I'm like, just do I have to sign anything? No. Do I have to do anything? No. I'm like, then what are you calling me about? No, lo and behold, I went from whatever. I got 300 up, 300 down.
300 up, 300. You get, it's sync?
Yep. 300 up, 300 down. I tested it out earlier again today.
That's not bad.
Still can't believe it for $90 a month at the office.
Huh.
Unbelievable.
That's good.
I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, something to happen. El Salvador, you know, they did Bitcoin. I know some people going to El Salvador soon. They're going to be investing some of the $4 million in gains it has obtained from its Bitcoin operation to build a veterinary hospital.
That's a roundabout way to be. That's funny. Okay.
Two questions. One, what kind of veterinary hospital costs $4 million? But okay. And why are we helping the animals before we help the starving people in El Salvador?
Well, El Salvador is not a poverty-ridden country. That's where all the Americans move to, and they take their money with them, and they move to El Salvador in all these enclaves that are designed for Americans. You might as well just be living in Phoenix.
So El Salvador... El Salvador is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere with low per capita income, chronic inflation, high unemployment.
Well, I stand or sit, as it were, corrected.
I'm trying to find out per person, the average salary, GDP per capita per person, $3,700, down from 2018 of $4,000. Let's see.
Well, I was thinking just the opposite. I'm completely wrong.
Average income per capita, let's see, $3,600 average per capita.
Well, that's why Americans move there. You get cheap help.
Yeah, that's terrible. All right, so point is that they're using this to help the animals. Oh, whatever. One more on the analysts. Nike rose, but a lot of things on the analysts today. Nike rose 1.3% pre-market today after Goldman Sachs initiated coverage with a buy. citing a healthy industry backdrop as well as strong growth initiatives by the athletic footwear and apparel maker, which is like, wait a second. They reported like just a couple of weeks back and it was miserable. The company told you it was miserable.
Yeah.
But also in the report, if you look at why they were upgrading them, something about, hey, buy it now because Nike always seems to go up.
Well, that's a rationale for you.
There you go. And finally, holiday shopping. Better start thinking about this now as the holiday season is just around the corner. Supply chain challenges persist. FedEx and U.S. Postal Service customers are being encouraged to place their shipping orders sooner rather than later.
My wife's already done all her holiday shopping.
I know a lot of people have done a lot of holiday shopping already. So it's going to pull forward
a lot. Time to do it.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want to make sure that you get our gifts in, right? I mean, people should start sending in things now.
Yeah.
We like scotch. We like wines. What else do we like? Yeah. Cigars. I love cigars.
We like whiskey.
Whiskey.
We love
good whiskey. Yeah. So there you go. DH Unplugged, close to the pin is happening right now. You got a couple more days to get in on the action to the Moderna. Guess the price of Moderna, and you win two things. Number one, you're going to win a wonderful, well-done, one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt designed by Jimbo and a book, The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success. And
is it going to be autographed?
Yes, it's going to be autographed. And I'm going to throw something else in. I'm going to throw in another autographed John's Vinegar book on reservation for when it eventually comes out.
Well, that puts the screws to me.
No, I didn't say you had to do it. I'm saying,
I'm going to do it.
You're not getting any younger. Got to get that going. You know what I'm saying?
I've noticed.
Yep. And anyone think otherwise? Free and clear, the International Monetary Fund, IMF Executive Board, is going to be issuing a statement of support for Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva. Who, after reviewing allegations that she pressured World Bank staff to alter data to favor China, said, hey, you know, we didn't find any problem with it. Whatever's happening, it seems good.
Alter data to favor China.
But it's okay.
Well, what was altered and how is it favoring China? Is that part of the story?
Yeah, so
we'd be nice to know.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. Basically, what happened was that supposedly there was a best countries to do business in thing that they did. That's what it wasn't.
China's on that list.
They were the one. They were the best, one of the best places. They were like a favored country. They were like got all the ratings, everything lined up.
You know? They steal your intellectual property, demand half the company,
mm-hmm.
and then kick you out at the drop of a hat and don't let you have any free speech and they won't give you good internet. Yeah, sounds like the place to go.
Well, I'm just telling you that if you look up the story and you follow what was the accusing and what happened here, that interestingly enough, they stopped that it wasn't an award, but that research report they put out every year. And somehow she bent, this is what they say, bent the information to tilt it more favorably to China. So that now you get this report like, and you could use it for a lot of different reasons. Use it to promote your workings in China, to promote China as a place to do business, to promote others to utilize China and whatever it was. Somebody obviously, if it's true, paid a lot of money for this whole deal to go down.
I hope so.
Yeah. And to cover it up on the back end.
Yes.
You know, you got two sides.
It's not cheap.
It is not cheap to cheat and steal and cover it up on the back end. That's what we learn on DH Unplugged.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
I now bow...
Yes.
I now bow to the king of picks.
Ta-da.
Yep, the torch has been passed.
Barely.
Well, mine is closed.
Yeah, you closed out, so and I just beat you up by 0.3 8%, and which is very little. And because my FVC Bank Corp, which is up 96.49%, passed your Trane Technologies, which was just leading the pack for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it closed at 96.15. So I'm now ahead with the biggest number up on the board. And you got kicked off the board, which surprises me.
I got to tell you, you'll know, actually, this week coming up, I want to see this. What is the symbol on this thing? FVCB. So let me look at this here. FVCB. This stock chart, where is that here? Here. If you look at the stock chart, it is beautiful since July. It's just it's just moving up year to date. Let's see year to date. A little choppy sideways action. The breakout that finally happened over in about the July 16th. Then just a slow movement.
Yeah, I love slow moves.
Just moving nice.
Kind of just goes up.
Small bank, 121 going. Employees, headquartered in Fairfax. Founded in 2007. Not the best year to be founded. Revenue is that right? That can't be right. Is that right? Is there zeros missing from this? Huh. $14.87 million in revenue? Is that right?
I don't know.
Market cap, 270.
This was purely a technical pick by
me. This is a small cap. $275 million overall market cap, which means it's trading at, let's see, PE 14.6. Net income, $5.16 million. PE 14, so that would be 36. Could be.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's just, but there it is. Mm. And it took me forever to make this.
It's not that far. It's only since July. What are we talking about?
July of 2020.
Oh, it was 2020? Right. Yeah, good point.
It's a year and a half.
These could be some of the longest running positions ever. It's over a year. Long-term capital gains. Few other things were kicked off. NXP Semiconductors up 15%, kicked upward channel. John's pick back from 12.2. Planet Fitness, my short that just can't get, this won't go down. June 2021. Slight loss, really not, no big deal. Cranes China tried to hit that again, and that was up 3.3%. And then Traeger down 14%. My favorite grill down 14%. I have one pick for this week. It got smacked recently. It's a CRISPR technology, healthcare, biotech, if you will.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's unproven to this point, but there's a lot of really good genetic work being done on the cancer front with these companies. A couple of companies that recently reported got dropped after they reported, or a report came out from another company, CRISPR, which is the name of the company, not just the technology. This one's called Editas, symbol EDIT. CRISPR dropped about 8%. It was high as 140. It's about 95 now. But they dropped on actually good clinical data, but just not extraordinarily good. And heading into the next phase of their testing. So there's still a lot of room ahead of them on that area. So Edit is the pick, EDIT.
I have one. And it is ADI.
ADI.
Let's put this on AD. Analog
devices. You're buying a chip company down 3% today. And what is the thesis?
Well, it's an upward channel and also insiders.
Upward insiders. Only so many spaces on this whole thing. Anything else? Any other picks? John, you with me? Oh, John. I think I can see you talking.
What?
Oh, there you are. You're back.
The connection's gotten flaky in the last couple minutes.
Yeah, it's probably mine because I said.
Oh, yeah, you got the new 300 megabits.
I got 300 megabits every, like, you know, a few minutes it goes out, though, just to even it all out.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm off. I'm off on a flight to New York, then Istanbul, then Cairo.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to spend any time in Istanbul, Constantinople?
No, I can't.
Oh, that's too bad. It's a great town.
I heard the airport was pretty unbelievable.
Oh, the airport's modern as can be.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through that. But the problem is I had to take my – so really quick, really quick. So it was that I could use a vaccine card to get into Cairo. Yeah. That was like a month ago. Then they're like, you know what? Look at those vaccine cards. They don't say anything on them. They don't – they're bullshit.
Okay.
The rest of the world has the vaccine cards with the little what do they have on here? They have a little symbol on there where they can – I think it's somehow in some kind of database.
Yeah.
So ours are useless. Ours are useless. So I had to do a COVID test 72 hours before long story. I had to go yesterday to get my COVID test, which I got, and got the results back. And I'm negative, of course. And then I can go and go. But if I step off the plane, like my other friends are going to Dubai, they get another test because they're in Dubai off of outside the airport. Because the airport obviously is a COVID-free zone. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Of course. No COVID in there.
So stupid. So stupid. All right, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, I'll see you then.
All right, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.